Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't usually do this, but today I thought it would be good and maybe even necessary for me to begin this sermon with a public confession. I just think it's important to set the right tone. So here it is. The truth is that I like the Hallmark Channel. I know, and what's even more is that I especially like it at this time of year. As you know, it's the Hallmark Christmas movie season. Now, there may be one or two of you, Dave, who don't know about this, but the truth is that this year, at this time, the Hallmark Channel puts out this whole slew of their own original Christmas movies, movie after movie after movie. And they all have names like Christmas at Winchester, A Homecoming Christmas, A Christmas to Remember, Christmas in Love, and even Christmas at Graceland. Ooh, I can't wait for that one. They basically all tell the same story. Some successful, usually worldly guy or girl returns home for Christmas, only to, surprise, surprise, fall in love with an old friend or classmate. They basically, again, all tell the same story, but the settings are beautiful, the stories are gentle, and everyone ends with a happy couple in love. What's not to like? I mean, the movies are great, and they are great to help you get in the mood for Christmas. In fact, they're certainly better for getting in the mood than our gospel reading today. In fact, did you listen to our text? Today is the first Sunday in Advent. Advent, right? A time when we are to prepare our hearts in joyful anticipation for the incredible birth of Jesus. Well, I didn't hear a lot of joy in today's text. In fact, remember how it began? The text began today. In that day, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, fearful of what is coming on the world, for the very heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And the text continues with this theme until it finally ends with a rather ominous warning. Be careful then, or your hearts will be weighed down with the dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close upon you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. Pray that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Merry Christmas! So, what's going on here? I mean, why was this text chosen out of all the texts that could have been selected for this first Sunday in the Advent season? It doesn't really seem, well, very Christmassy. In fact, this text, actually, it reminds me of another text that is actually about Christmas, but also doesn't sound very Christmassy. Most of us, I think, are very familiar with the Christmas story as it is recorded in the Gospels, right? The story of Mary and Joseph, the angels, etc. But how many of us are familiar with the Christmas story as it's told in the Revelation? Revelation also records the Christmas story, but it doesn't sound a whole lot like the story we're used to hearing. In fact, allow me to read for you this other text, this text that records the Christmas story in Revelation chapter 12. Here's how it goes. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour the child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up before God to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God. And then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough and lost his place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. And this text continues, but ends with a great voice from heaven speaking to us on the earth, saying, "Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, and he is filled with fury, for he knows that his time is short." And again, Merry Christmas. Many people avoid the Revelation because it is so rich in symbols and meanings, and the text that I just read here is indeed this. There's a lot going on here, but in the midst of this is the Christmas story. But in this version, we have opened up for us much more of the cosmic side of Christmas, which includes the darker side of Christmas. For not all joined with the angels in their chorus of glory to God in the highest, the dragon, that ancient serpent, also called the devil as Satan, was in some way present at the birth of Christ. And he struck at the child just as he had been striking at the woman, the people of God, Israel, since there were a people of God. How he may have specifically done this, we don't know, though we certainly see one attack shortly after the birth of Christ in Herod's order to slaughter all the newborn boys in and near Bethlehem. Eventually, Satan would, for a brief moment, believe that he had actually succeeded in devouring the child. And this, of course, happened when Jesus was killed. But Satan's joy was short-lived, for Jesus rose up from the grave. He ascended into heaven, and he does and still rule through all eternity the nations with an iron scepter. In fact, it is the triumphant return of this risen Jesus Christ coming with power and glory that our original text for today anticipates. This will be a day of unfathomable joy for us, his people, and an equally day of terror for Satan and those who choose him. In this Advent season, the truth is that we celebrate and anticipate both comings of Christ. We celebrate his coming to us as a babe, and we anticipate and celebrate his second coming to us in power and glory. You know, as I said, I do love Hallmark Christmas movies. I also love the lights, the music, the food, the gifts, family and friends, and all the best of what our culture associates with Christmas. And yet I wonder how much richer our celebration and appreciation might be if we indeed remembered that there is, if you will, a darker side to Christmas. That this helpless babe in the manger is at the same time the God of all creations, whose return will tear the heavens apart and shake the very foundations of creation. Or that this babe, whom the angels sing peace on earth, will at the same time be the one whom the nations will soon quake in terror. And for that matter, why some angels rejoice over this child, others, those fallen, rage and plot his destruction. And now rage and plot the destruction of his people. Christmas, like all major events in the Christian story, is full of paradox. Paradox, of course, is when two statements that seem contradictory are nevertheless both true. It's both and thinking rather than either or thinking. Looking into the manger, we see paradox in all of its glory and frustration. The babe, as we know, is both fully God and fully human. At the same time, that can't be, and yet it is. It has been said, and I might agree, that one of the greatest strengths traditionally of Lutheran theology is that Lutherans are okay with paradoxes when they find them in Scripture, while other denominations often are not as okay with them. You will quickly tangle yourself up theologically in regard to issues as fundamental as salvation, the sacraments, and human beings and their nature if you try to fix Scripture's paradoxical statements about such things. As human beings who love logic, we much prefer either-or statements, but Scripture is frustratingly comfortable with both and statements. The truth is that reality is much greater than just logic itself can comprehend. We are saints and sinners at the same time. Just as plain old bread and wine and the very body and blood of Christ are at the same time. And the list goes on and on. We see unseen things. We conquer by yielding. We find rest under a yoke. We reign by serving. We are made great by becoming small. We are exalted when we are humbled. We become wise by being fools for Christ. We are made free by becoming bondservants. We gain strength when we are weak. We triumph through defeat. We find glory and victory in our weakness. We live by dying. Is it really then any wonder that in Advent, as we prepare for the joyful celebration of Christmas, that we would at the same time be warned to be careful and cautious, lest our hearts be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life? By the way, I had to look up what dissipation means. If you're like me, it means self-indulgent living. Again, is it any wonder that once again, as we celebrate our Savior who has come, we would remember that the dragon still roams among us and that he is full of fury, for that he knows his time is short. God would have us see reality as it really is. He'd have us live wisely in a world that really is. He would have each of us know the amazing love of God, our Savior, and at the same time know the real pain, the hurt, and the rebellion of sinful man that requires saving. We are called to a vision of Christmas that may include, but is so much more than the best Hallmark movie. What is at stake is not just another annual celebration or making of Christmas memories with friends and family. What is at stake is our living now in the coming kingdom of heaven, which Jesus reminds us both is already and not yet here. May your upcoming celebration of the amazing Christmas that was inspire your living now in preparation for the coming of the great kingdom that will soon be upon us.